you as a community of people. But likewise, we believe that God's put some stuff inside of us to bring to the table as well. Now, before anyone kind of gets too settled into anything, if we are in different places about how we feel like God is moving us, moving forward, then we could just have the first few months of this, if not few years of this, in quite a lot of tension and stuff. So our goal really is to make sure that you know our hearts for what we would prioritize in ministry. And because with all the best will in the world, if God starts moving miraculously amongst us and he starts bringing new people into this environment, there might be some people that would really love that. But there might also be some people that would find that a little bit challenging. And then when you get some people that are coming in and kind of like similar to the people that we were talking about earlier on in the scripture, the blind who need sight, the oppressed who need freedom, the those who are in oppression get freedom from some of that stuff. If God starts bringing some of these people into our midst, we have to be okay with that. So it could get messy before it gets unmessy. And there are some churches that are like, actually, that's not our ministry. That's not our bag. And, you know, and that's absolutely fine. There's a different call of God which is on them. But I think it's only fair for you guys to know the kind of thing that we would want to partner with Jesus on moving forward. And if you don't like it, then go and tell Tony straight away, right? So this doesn't go on any further. If you do like it, then I think there's more exploration that we can have together as a community of people. But so there's a couple of things that we would like to kind of suggest we would want to partner with Jesus on. One of them is in the sense of that openness to all the people that don't actually come to church right now. So we've got a big heart for anyone who doesn't know Jesus. And we believe that in this current culture and context that we live in this country, that we have to work extra hard on building bridges to people who don't know Jesus. Now, that means entertaining some people that will have completely different belief systems than we would. It means working on building up relationships with people who would live radically different lives and would actually accept different standards for how they live and everything else like that. What we're not saying is that we would drop any of our standards. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that we would want to build bridges so that people could come and encounter Jesus without assuming that they are disqualified from entering into that exploration. And I think that's the big thing that we would want to ensure that you knew that we were bringing to the table here. We believe in having quite an open sense of dialogue and communication with people that don't always see eye to eye with us. So, for example, any church has got a statement of fundamental beliefs, a statement of foundational truths, if you like. Now, outside of that, there are a whole number of Christians who would believe different things on different matters. And we wouldn't want to stifle communication or dialogue in any kind of way. We would want to encourage people to bring their thoughts and opinions so that together we could actually journey towards what where people actually do find truth and all that kind of stuff. So our fundamentals are our fundamentals, though. Those things don't change. And our mission is to try and communicate those fundamentals to a world that does not know Jesus Christ just yet. So when it comes to people who are living such different lives to us, we would want to be very intentional about not just having a welcome for them here in this service, but actually initiating different projects and programs that could help us build relationships with them moving forward as well. My wife works as the lead administrator for North Bristol Food Bank, for example. And so we care deeply about speaking into and participating into social activity so that people who have got very physical needs get the help that they need, but on top of the help they need, get an invitation to a relationship to move forward with as well. And they get opportunities to explore Jesus for themselves. So we're not just handing them out stuff in the moment, we're actually giving them an opportunity that could transform a lifetime. And so we'd be highly intentional about some of that stuff. And we would believe wholeheartedly in the sense that, that the welcome, which is so evidently here in this church, could be extended into long-term relationship for people that may know Jesus, may not know Jesus, may believe certain things about Christianity, may believe different things about Christianity. But the longer we're in relationship with them, the more chance there is of everyone getting onto the same page in terms of what grace and truth actually look and sound like. So the goal isn't to have any sense of judgment or condemnation before people have an opportunity to build a relationship. And that would be one of our postures that we would have here. On top of that, we believe wholeheartedly that there is a vast missional field that exists out there right now. Did you know, for example, that 95% of the population of Bristol do not go to church? Which means that in the city of Bristol, as a boundary line, that is 5% of 450,000 is maths I can't do off the top of my head, I'm afraid. on top of that, in the wider Bristol region, you've got 1 million people that exist, and the percentage is still true. It's still 5% out of 1 million that attend church, which tells me that there's work that needs to be done. And there's stuff that we need to partner with the Holy Spirit on to see transformation and change truly occur. So we believe in participating in the witness of the entire church of the city of Bristol, and we believe in things like church planting. We believe in going into certain locations where, I mean, where we live and around, very nearby to this area, for example, is a lot of new housing developments that are going up, and there's no infrastructure for community. There's no schools. There's no buildings that kind of foster relationship building in any kind. So people are being put into houses, and they've got no opportunity to meet each other. They've got no opportunity to encounter anything that could be good for them moving forward as well. So, so we believe in actually not just pastoring one church. We believe that one church, as it grows, can multiply into many churches. And we believe that there is a beautiful essence of that, which means that you can retain the brilliant sense of relationship that you can build in one setting, but you can also then make sure that you are still branching out into new housing development areas, you're still contributing to community, and you're still providing a witness of Jesus Christ in as many places as possible. We want to change that stat so it's more than 5% of people that are engaging in church and committed to Jesus. And we believe that church doesn't just exist for us. I remember one person saying once that church is the only organization on the planet that exists for people who are not its members. There is that wonderful sense there that if we're doing this right, it means that the people of God are being built up to the point where we are able to so confidently release what we've been built up with to see transformation and change take place in the worlds that exist around us. We believe that every single one of us is called to be a minister of his gospel. We believe in whole body ministry. We believe that every one of us has got a part to play. We believe that every single one of us has got something profound to give. And we believe that there should be no circumstance whatsoever where that is diminished, stifled, or is restricted in any kind of manner. So we believe that apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers should be emerging in every single church that is doing this work well. We believe that every single person within this church can contribute really positively to the life and the community and the building up of the entire church community as well. So in some ways, and this may be a bit of an odd sentence to say out loud, but I don't believe that I'm here to pastor everyone, but I do believe that everyone should be pastored. Because I don't believe I'm the only one that would have a pastoral gift upon my life. And I believe that every one of us would actually connect to different people in different ways. Some of you wouldn't want to be pastored by me, mainly because, as my wife can vouch for this week, there's a limit that I have to looking after people in hospital. Sometimes it's quite tiring. I was trying to get her out of the hospital, whether she was well or not, because I was bored. Now, saying that, I do love people. There's just each one of us has got a different kind of ability to connect with different kinds of people. the stuff that we've been through in our journeys and lifetimes will connect with some of us really, really well. But there will be other people that might be better placed, that have gone through similar circumstances, that can help pastor someone else who might be going through something similar. Our posture will be to lead a community where everyone can impart into every person, knowing that there is strength to do so, and there is the ability to be able to release that really effectively. So we believe in the building up of all believers in that sense. Now, speaking of the children in the room, we love the generations. And so as much as we believe wholeheartedly that every single person is here to contribute, we also believe that every generation can learn from one another as well. So we would want to prioritize excellent youth and kids ministry in the life of this community. We believe that our children have got valuable things to remind us of as adults. And if we ever forget any of those things, I think it's a detriment to us. There are some things that my daughter has absolute faith in that sometimes I don't, because of the simplicity of her faith and the knowledge of what she's been taught already. And sometimes my experiences get in the way of my childlike faith. And so kids can teach us as adults, and so they should. And likewise, every single one of us as adults has got something to pass on to the next generation. The churches that we've seen thrive in this way are the ones where every single person takes on that sentiment that they've all got something to pass on to someone else. We are all being discipled by someone, and we can all disciple someone else. And it is that both and kind of scenario that we would want to encourage moving forward. So saying all of that, I am an Elim minister. I'm ordained in the Elim denomination. I've done 3 years learning theology. I've got a degree in it, not a very good one. My wife has got a better one than me. We're not holding on to that in any grudge, am I? So we're trained in theology, and I'm ordained by Elim as well, which means that I come with the backing of a Pentecostal movement, which can vouch for my ministry, just in case you're nervous or kind of apprehensive about what might come out of my mouth next. You'd be in no different position than my wife most Sundays, to be fair. So there's strength in unity that we do believe, and we do believe in partnering with churches, we believe in partnering with movements, we believe in making sure that we are as much one body, not just in this building on a Sunday, but also in part of the city of Bristol and in terms of our witness even beyond that as well. As such, before this exploration took place with Waterbrook here, I was genuinely looking into quite extensively setting up a church plant in Cheswick Village. I was doing so in an obscene level of faith, really, because I had no church that I was part of, but I was contacting schools and I was saying, hey, do you fancy having a church come in? And I just hoped they didn't ask any more questions, to be honest, because I had no one with me at the time. But that's the kind of place that I could see us potentially moving to, potentially starting something new in, and it's got all the hallmarks of everything that I've just described. An opportunity to be part of a new housing development where there's nothing established, which is there. An opportunity to speak into a world which is so radically secularized now that they do not know Jesus, only as a swear word. There's schools that you can partner with that you'd be able to go and speak into the lives of generations. There's families that are there that have got no infrastructure whatsoever to actually meet each other whatsoever. And there's more than that in terms of housing developments that are going up. So we could see that as something of a place in which we could either, again, like I said, start something new from, or base ourselves in to continue the work and build up from there. But I don't believe in big church. I don't believe that one church should become 500 people strong. I think it's too big. I think you can't get to know everyone. I think you can't release everyone. I think it doesn't have as much potential as five churches of 100 people each. I think five churches of 100 people each could do more effective work than one church of 500 people. And I think it's because of the intentionality that you can have in any given community, the relationships that you can build up, the amount of people you could release really purposefully and the amount of time you could pour into someone's life so that they can be as empowered as they possibly can moving forward. We believe all of this needs to point back to Jesus. And we believe that every last person who comes into touch with our ministry, hopefully that will be the thing that they get more than anything else. We're not here to build a name for ourselves. We're here to build the name of Jesus more than anything else. And we believe that he's got some things to say and speak into the lives of people that modern day mental health stuff can't speak into, that modern day medicine can't speak into, that modern day ideas of relationships and family can't actually touch. I believe there's such a sense of enlightenment that you can have in Christ, that he can speak to the very core of a human being without having to deal with all of the rubbish first that we all happen to carry around with us. So that would be our posture, and that would be what we would bring. And so basically, if you were silly enough to offer us a job, what we wanted you to know is those are the kind of things that we would just naturally start doing. And we would need everyone to be as okay with that as they possibly could be. Because what we can't do is end up fighting each other, particularly when and if people start coming and wanting to see Jesus. If they come and they are expecting to encounter Jesus, they need to see a church that's together. They need to see a church that reflects Jesus as purely and as holy as he possibly can. And they need to see a church that's willing to welcome them onto whatever stage of the journey that they find themselves on. And that's our conviction, and that's what we believe wholeheartedly. Now, if that's not what you're interested in, absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. There's no grudge here whatsoever. But we may come with a whole bunch of people that might be quite broken. We might come with a whole bunch of people that believe very different things to what we would. We might come with a whole bunch of people that live very different lives. We're only keeping the door open to them because we know they need Jesus before we can start dealing with anything else. And that's our posture in amongst all of this. So that's a little bit of a flavour on all of that kind of stuff. I'm happy to answer any questions, if anyone has got any. Just to reassure you as well, that the trustees did a fantastic job of asking us questions the other night when we met together. We felt we were analysed quite thoroughly on the evening. It was healthy. It was very healthy. But genuinely, any questions at all, I'd love to answer them. Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah, yeah. Cheswick is literally just across the M32, so just the bridge across, and then you're in a brand new housing estate. It is, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, and that's the beauty of it as well, is it's right next door to UE and stuff. So I have spoken at the UECU a couple of times already, and I'm building up quite a good relationship with them, in fact, as a result of that, which is good. Any other questions at all? It's both and for me. I believe that the reason many of us actually come to Jesus is because we know that there's something that's gone wrong. Something's out of sync in some ways, isn't it? And so the best thing about people inside the church, their brokenness, is that at least they know that they're broken. People outside the church don't always know, you know, and so they're walking around as if everything's absolutely fine. I do believe it's a both and. I believe that if we build up the people of Jesus and they are able to be as whole and as healed as they possibly can be, I believe that ultimately makes them the first witness to someone else of what the power of Jesus actually can look like in many ways. But I don't think one precedes the other, though. I think they can happen at the same time. I think you can actually interact with the broken inside the church at the same time as reaching out to people outside the church. I don't think you need to wait until, like, because how many of us can vouch for the fact that we're still on a journey of discovery when it comes to grace? We're not as whole as we want to be. We're on an everyday journey of going from one degree of glory to the next. And so if God can use someone who's partially healed, then that's his message in one go, isn't it? It's like, join me on this journey as we go together towards the wholeness that we can find in Jesus. I think that says something even more profound than someone who's got it completely all together and going, yeah, just, you know, it seems unattainable sometimes to other people. So I love the idea of broken people helping broken people, as long as it's safe. Any other questions? Anyone want to claim heresy just yet? No. Yeah. My favorite scripture in the Bible, and explain why. Oh, there's too many. My life verse. I've got a couple of firm favorites. I received a baptism verse when I was 12, and that comes from 1 Chronicles 28:20. David said to Solomon, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. I will be with you. The Lord will be with you. He will see to it that he will not forsake you or leave you until all the work for the ministry of the temple of the Lord is finished." And I was given that when I was 12, almost like a, here's your life's future before your very eyes kind of thing, you know? And so it was quite prophetic at the time. But the one I've grown into over the years comes from Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, present your whole lives as a living sacrifice, as an offering, which is your honorable worship. Then you will be able to test, approve, and know the pleasing and perfect will of the Father. And I love that, those two verses together. Because the bit I missed out was about don't be conformed by the patterns, or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love those two verses together, because what it says to me is that worship is not just singing, it's not just songs. Worship is a lifestyle, it's a choice. It's a presentation of everything that we have before God. So everything means everything. I believe that our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our worries, that which is broken, that which is whole, it can all be presented back to Jesus as worship. The thing I love about it is because it's everything in his hands is so much more profitable than everything in my hands. He knows what to do with brokenness. He knows what to do with my ego. He knows what to do with my dreams. He knows what to do with the things I hold most dear, my family, my house, my... He knows what to do with all my prayers. He knows everything. So it's not just my songs, which are worship. Everything in submission to him is worship. Because in his hands, everything can be transformed and look more like who he is. And that's then where the second part of the verse comes from. So we'll be able to test and prove and know his will. It's like being in that close alignment with who he is, everything in submission allows us to know what his mind and heart is for absolutely everything. So then I don't make a single decision that's outside of what his will and what his mentality actually is. I find those two, that as a combination, that verse is like a little window into what is possible for my life if I were to do that consistently, the times I've done that successfully, I've seen things transformed in ways that I couldn't have come up with all by myself. And that is the beauty of those two verses for me.